Heavenly Father, as we enter another week of our Lenten journey, guide us to the path that leads to you. Fill our hearts with gratitude, patience, strength, and peace as we strive to become the best version of ourselves, honestly admitting our shortcomings and sins. Lord, open our hearts and our minds to hear your message this morning. Amen. I'm going to begin in the New Testament this morning. We're going to begin in Mark. We learn that Jesus purposefully offers himself as the Messiah as he enters into Jerusalem. He knows, and his disciples know, that this will anger the Jewish leaders as he enters as the Messiah, and that they may take action against him. However, Jesus presents himself publicly 3 days in a row. He entered Jerusalem on a Saturday, on a Sunday, and on a Monday. On that Sunday, he had entered from the Mount of Olives on a colt of a donkey that had never been ridden before. This young donkey was regarded as a suitable donkey for use in religious purposes. And this occurred at the beginning of the last week of Jesus' earthly life, as I studied this week for the sermon that resonated with me. This began the last week of Jesus' earthly life. Let's look at Mark 11, starting at number 1. Mark 11, verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go to the village ahead of you, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here shortly.' They went and found a colt outside in the street, tied at the doorway. As they untied it, some people standing there asked, 'What are you doing untying that colt?' And they answered, as Jesus had told them to, and the people let them go." It would have been so right and felt so good to be there to praise Jesus as he was walking the streets on that colt, riding on that colt. It would have felt right to be praising Jesus and shouting for him at that time, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our Father that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." Can you imagine being there, your heart beating, getting to see him? It was a different sort of a day to have such an audience. Jesus himself was inviting their praise. In Psalm 118, it is noted that praise was scriptural, that Jesus was to be praised, and this time he allowed it and he accepted their praise. In Psalm 100, we learn that if the Lord says we are to come to him with song, we should do so. In Psalm 134, it is shared that if God wants us to come to him with our hands raised up, that is how we should come to him. To worship him is to do what is pleasing to him. Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem was a triumphal entry. The crowd lavished their attention to the honor of Jesus. Going back to Mark 11, starting at 7, verse 7. When they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks over it, he sat on it. And many people spread their cloaks on the road, while others spread branches they had cut in the fields. Those who were ahead of those who followed shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King coming to our father David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Jesus entered Jerusalem and went to the temple courts, and he looked around at everything. But since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The people's praise was scriptural. Jesus was fulfilling the prophecy as scripture had predicted. His processional was humble, yet joyous. And this was evidence that Jesus was a different kind of king. He wasn't saying, look at me, I'm the best. Look at me, I can do it all. He was humble, and he continued to be humble. He rode on a baby donkey. Yeah, on a colt. Jesus entered the city, and he looked around and left with his disciples. His love would go on and on forever. From Psalm 118, 1 to 4, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, his love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, his love endures forever. What's the message? His love endures forever. No matter what we are going through, no matter what is happening in this world, find comfort in knowing that his love endures forever. Psalm 118 is most likely David's psalm. Theologian G. Campbell Morgan wrote that this is preeminently the triumph song of the Christ. He is the ideal servant. He is the priest. He is the leader of the people. How much all these words meant to him as he sang them on the night in the upper room. We're going to be looking at Psalm 118 and be thinking about that night in the upper room as he was sharing with his disciples. The psalmist who was writing this was praising God. He sings for all of us to give thanks to God. It was probably sung during the entrance of the temple during Passover. Jesus would become the cornerstone. He sang this psalm knowing that he would be suffering greatly, that he would eventually be rejected. But he became the cornerstone. The cornerstone is the stone that stabilizes the foundation, stabilizes the window pane, stabilizes the entranceway. Some feel that that cornerstone is an odd shape. There was a story that I read how the builders were building and everything was even and looked beautiful, and that odd-shaped stone just didn't fit in anywhere, and they kind of rolled it down the hill until they got to the ending piece. And they realized, this isn't going to work with these stones. And they went and they got this the cornerstone that they had thought was so odd and so different, and they put it in where it was needed to supply support for the rest of the building. Jesus, he helped to make connections. He helped to provide support. He is the rock on which we stand. He is our cornerstone, and he is to be recognized that he will be delivered from his death and experience a resurrection and become and continue to be our Savior. He is to receive the glory of all. That would be what he focused on and prayed about in his humble way. He even took time to comfort his followers, his disciples. He knew what was going to happen was going to be very rough. And he took time to comfort his people in a very humble way, humble and loving. Again, Jesus would be the one that would join earth and heaven as he was able to participate in an earthly life and would go on to participate in a heavenly life. In Psalm 118, verses 19 to 29, it reads, open for me the gates of the righteous, and I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give thanks. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice today and be glad. We know that in a space of a week, the people's praises became shouts of ridicule. How could this happen? How could this happen that Jesus would fall from glory to shame? It's very difficult to understand. Jesus knew that his hour was coming. He knew his mission was coming to a peak. He continued to love and teach and comfort his followers. Jesus was the perfect human. His character was praised in all cultures. In today's world, we tend to line up behind one another. A new belief feels good, I'm going to follow it. I don't like what you believe, I'm going to stand in line and I'm going to say nasty things about you because I don't like what you believe. We have to stick with our character that resembles Jesus. We have to dig into our souls sometimes to make sure that we stay with Jesus. We stay humbled with his love. We stay humbled with his teachings. We know the difference between right and wrong. Jesus had a character that was praised in all cultures. We should come before God and ask him to help us faithfully follow Jesus as Jesus had followed God. May he allow us to serve others as Jesus has always served us. Allow us to be the peacemakers of this world. Through our service, there is a natural closeness to Jesus that occurs in our hearts and in our minds, and we become drawn to the cross. Guess what happens when we don't follow Jesus? We become drawn to what's out there, what looks good, what feels good, what everyone else is doing. We're going to follow what everyone else is saying. We need to draw into the natural closeness of Jesus. It is in this closeness to Jesus that we will fully recognize his gift of coming into this world and his continued glorification to this day, thousands of years. He is to be glorified. And he'll be glorified for the next thousands of years because of his character. Let's go back to Psalm 118 and start at verse 25. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord, we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With boughs in hand, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. This song celebrates the welcome of God's deliverer through the open gates of the holy city. Jesus was so warmly welcomed as the Messiah on Palm Sunday. Theologian Trapp has written, "Thus say the priests to the people, ministers must bless those that bless Christ, saying, grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity." That's from Ephesians 24. You are my God, and I will praise you. It is a choice that each of you gets to make every morning. Begin your day with rejoicing and praise. It's your choice. Our Lord is so good. We should be praising him and rejoicing with him and knowing that he's going to get us through whatever happens during the day. Mercy was bestowed upon Jesus, and it is the same mercy and loving kindness that we receive as his people. This is from a litany, Litanies and Other Prayers. This morning, God shall awaken our ears to hear as those who were taught by Christ, and we shall console the forlorn through the dignity of our hearing. This morning, God shall awaken our eyes to see as those who were taught by Christ, and we shall inspire the tired through the integrity of our seeing. This morning, God shall awaken our tongues to speak as those who were taught by Christ, and we shall sustain the weary through the authority of our speaking. Oh, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us pray. Dear Lord, allow us to have the mind among ourselves that is ours because it was Christ's first. Allow us to recognize his character, his humbleness, and strive to be more like him. May we go and do for our neighbors as Christ has done for us. We praise you, Lord, for allowing us to live another beautiful day in your kingdom. In your precious name, amen.